You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So it's all for play for still?
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello there, villains, and welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast with Paddy and Neil. We're back again, and it's games are coming thick and fast, which is something I like. It's almost like a championship kind of schedule at the moment. We've got a game on a Sunday, a game on a Friday, and it's only 5 days between games. It's fantastic, I think. Keep them coming because we missed them for long enough when the games were gone during the first COVID lockdown. And thankfully, we're going into lockdown here in Ireland again for 6 weeks, but we will at least have some semblance of football to keep us give us a modicum of sanity, I think, over the next 6 weeks or however long this lockdown lasts for. Paddy, how are you doing today?
Yeah, not too bad. As you said, 6 weeks of lockdown, so thank God we've a bit of football to watch, although if you watch the two games Monday night, you may not be looking forward to too much football.
Yeah.
I think we're just unlucky that nil-all draw was bound to come at some stage, and it eventually came on Monday. Thankfully, I gave that one a skip, but I did do a little bit of research on Leeds. I watched most of the game on Monday night. I think we know what to expect from them, given what we've watched Bielsa ball in the last 2 years, so looking forward to it now, and a little bit nervous about it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's a game I'm looking forward to watching. I think it's a game probably the whole Premier League is looking forward to watching at the moment, probably bar Danny Murphy, because we know how much his disdain for Aston Villa. He's completely entitled to his opinion. I'm not slating him over it or anything, but I will just point out when he's overtly nonchalant in his opinion about Aston Villa, because it's almost like he goes out of his way not to get excited about Aston Villa Football Club unless something dour is absolutely happening to him. Couldn't get him off the radio when Villa nearly went into liquidation, and now you can't get five words out of him when Villa are unbeaten, only unbeaten team in Europe's top five leagues, I think. And but look, that's Danny Murphy. That's fine. We could pick holes in all pundits. I'm sure Leeds fans are doing a podcast right now saying, what in the hell was Gabby Agbonlahor talking about when he said Leeds were mitt? So look, I'm sure we'll find out. I'm sure every team has their bugbear, or every football fan has their bugbears, but Danny Murphy just scratches me in a place I can't reach. That's what I think of Danny. And as I say, he's more than entitled to his opinion. He's obviously doing a great job, or they wouldn't have asked him back on. But anyway, can't remember where I was going with that. You mentioned the nil-all draw with Burnley. and West Brom. It nearly happened 24 hours previous to that with our game against Leicester. But you know, we the game was back and forth. It was interesting in a different way. One for the purists, I think I call it. But you know, without Ross Barkley's 25-yard screamer. And I am going to call it a screamer because, you know, it's hard to beat a goalkeeper of that quality from that far out. You know, without that, I think we would be probably looking back at it as a 1 point gained as opposed to 2 points lost, I think, situation. And Leicester must be really kind of looking back at it now with going, Jesus, that's definitely 1 point lost for us because, you know, they should have defended and they should have continued to defend on. But we're not going to complain about that at all. And it gives us a great platform as we move on towards Leeds on Friday night in Villa Park. I'm all over the place with kickoff times, Paddy. What time is kickoff? Do you know? Is there
usually 8 o'clock?
It's which one? 8 o'clock, is it?
8 o'clock, I think. Yeah, it is.
Have they gone back to 8 o'clock kickoffs now that the pubs are closed?
I'm not sure the pubs are closed in the UK, but that will get them out of the pubs by 10 o'clock anyway. But I think they close earlier on a Sunday. That was the issue with the Sunday kickoffs, wasn't it?
Ah, yes, I think that was it. You're right. Mm-hmm. But 8 o'clock on Friday in Villa Park. A traditional and historic clash, I think, is what we call it, between Aston Villa and Leeds. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing the two styles mesh against each other. And I'm not saying this from a point of view of cockiness or anything, but I don't think that there's any team that I would fear waltzing into Villa Park on Friday night the way that Aston Villa are playing at the moment. I might feel 1,000,000% different after the game. And as I always say, as a Villa fan, it's my right to be fickle and change my opinion at any given time. But I think that Villa can, you know, can play with this Leeds team, even play with their fitness levels. I'm quite positive about the result in this game on Friday night. What way are you thinking? What's your initial thoughts on it, Paddy?
I'm genuinely nervous about this one. I think we know what we're going to get from them, but then they've added to the squad a little bit and there's a little bit of talent to put in there. Obviously, Calvin Phillips is going to be a big loss for them. How they rearrange to put someone in there, I'm not sure who'll do that job for them. You know, as I said, they've added to the quality, you know, with the likes of Rafinha coming in. They still have Pablo Hernandez is where they seem to be using them as a super sub at the moment. Mm. And then we've got our old friend, Patrick Bamford, who's, if anyone is going to score, it's going to be him, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. He's he seems to have taken to the Premier League in a nice way. But yeah, it's like they're some of their parts, Leeds. When we see, I suppose, look, no team wants to lose Calvin Phillips. He's their international, their English international. But they really are some of their parts. Bielsa's teams have always been some of their parts, really. And you can actually see it in certain instances, like when he was manager of Argentina and so on. Maybe some of the big guns didn't fire because there was less reliance on them and it was more reliance on the system, play style. And as I say, I'm going to say it again, some of the parts situation. So I'm not as, you know, joyous or as kind of... it doesn't really change the needle for me that Calvin Phillips is out, because I think they'll just bring in somebody in that position and he'll play that position, because as I've said before, modern football is about systems more so than individual players. And you know, it's nice to have those individual players if you can fit them into your system, you know, but it's better to have somebody who fits into your system first and continues on there. Leeds are you know what you're going to get from Leeds. Like, Leeds are going to be a short passing team. Very few long balls will be played by Leeds. They don't cross the ball as much, even, would you believe. They do attack down the wings about 38% of their time. They're actually really, really, really balanced team from the point of view whereby they attack 38% of all their attacks have come down the left-hand side. 38% of their attacks have come down the right-hand side as well. But they've only crossed in 24%, should I say, sorry, of their passes have been crosses.
Yeah, they probably all Luke Ayling as well.
Yeah,
he seems to be their main threat with the crossing. He's a very good crosser of the ball, very good player, and very good attacking fullback as well. He's one that I really like. one of their man bun brigade.
Yeah, and in fairness to Luke Ayling, he really had to kind of rebuild his career. If memory doesn't mistake me, he was on Arsenal's books, and I don't know, did he get a game for Arsenal? And you know, went down the leagues and has come back. And to be honest with you, at start of the year, I've got a good mate who's a Leeds fan. At start of the year, I said, I think Luke Ayling could be victimized in this league, and look, I was wrong. I can put up my hand and say I was definitely wrong. He's able to run with the best of them. You know, I just thought you could get in around him with pace. And Jesus, like even against Wolves there, Neto was trying to leave him for dust a couple of times, and Ayling matched him stride for stride. I certainly did not see that coming. From looking at the way the teams played against Leeds in the Championship, I thought that Ayling was allowed to keep the ball and keep the player in front of him an awful lot. And in the Premiership, the people were getting behind him. But he's done a superb job, and call a spade a shovel, really. Like when you see something like that, you have to applaud it, because I thought he was the weak link. I certainly did, but he's been anything but really since.
I agree. I always thought he was a weak link when we played against him, mainly because he'd had to put up with Jack Grealish, and that might be a different kettle of fish for him on Friday. So he's not alone. There's some good players in there. Mateusz Klich, you know, he's Polish international. We know all about him from that goal that he scored. He seems to, you know, he's just a ball of energy. He's in your face. Is that high pressure on the full backs? It'll be interesting to see how we cope with that. You know, we coped well enough with Liverpool doing it. It'll be interesting to see how we because relatively unknown, you know, Rodrigo and Jack Harrison as well. And Bamford just kind of splits the two centre halves. It's an unusual style. It'll be interesting to see how we counteract it. Be interesting to see if there's any changes. I don't anticipate any, barring any injuries. And I think, as things stand, Courtney Hawes is the only one other than the two long-term ones we have out. So I would imagine, you know, it'll be, I won't say same team and same subs this week, because it looks like we'll have Keenan Davis back in. So he'll probably be, somebody will make way for him on the bench, I would imagine. I can't see any changes in the lineup. Can you?
I don't think so either. I don't think Bertrand Traoré will usurp Trezeguet. Like, we've seen all the statistics on the amount of work that Trezeguet did, the amount of interceptions, tackles back, yards covered, and so on. Like, for a right winger to have three successful tackles is fantastic, you know. And I think they were all in his defensive half as well. So, you know, that's some going. And I know that we did soak up a lot of pressure. He was playing with having to mark Harvey Barnes, who we always knew was going to get up and down that wing, and you know, Matty Cash and himself work well together. So, as you said before, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Really, you know, don't mess with a winning team. And I think that we'll bar, you know, that Ross Barkley's knee doesn't get aggravated, or bar that you know, something like that doesn't happen in training over the next couple of days, I think we'll see the same team as well. And you know, I'm happy to see the same team. Like, long enough have I been, you know, almost clamoring for a change to freshen things up for the sake of it. You know, stability breeds success. And I go back to it again, Man United's title winning teams back in the late 90s and so on. They always had a stable team. They always used, you know, a small few players during the course of the year. And we've spoken about 1980 Villa in 81. We've spoken about even Leicester, you know, more recently. Core group of players that you can keep fit is better than having a bench of 8 or 9 players that you regularly need to dip into from a consistency point of view. I think Leeds as well, Paddy, if I'm not mistaken, I think Leeds are going to be down Liam Cooper as well at the weekend. And that's for me is a huge loss for them, because he went off just before the game started on
Monday.
Monday. And they brought in, what's his name, Struijk, the Dutch defender. All the physical abilities in the world, Struijk does. But as I say, Liam Cooper's their defensive talisman. Club captain, Scottish international, highest rated player for them by Opta, highest rated player for them by a good measure looking at a couple of the statistical sites. You know, he's won by far and away, has won more aerial duels than any other player on that team. And it's that's something for me, I think, that is that's kind of going under the radar. That himself, like everyone's talking about Calvin Phillips, and I think someone come into that midfield and do as good a job as Calvin Phillips, relatively speaking. Calvin Phillips, as I say, is a good player, but I think relatively speaking, somebody could come in there and do a job for him for one or two games. But when you're talking about your leader at centre half, that's a big one for me. That's going to be a big, yeah, big loss for them. Like their back line is Stuart Dallas, 29 years of age, Luke Ayling, 29 years of age, Cooper, 29 years of age, Robin Koch, 24 years of age, and then you're going to be getting rid of Cooper and bringing in Pascal Strick for 21 years of age. You know, they've gone from having a really experienced, battle-hardened back four to bringing in Strick, and to be honest with Robin Koch, he's new to the league as well, and yeah, giving away a couple of penalties, if I'm not mistaken, as well, since he's came into the league. So that would be for me a small bit more worrying than I would be equally as worrying, should I say, as losing Calvin Phillips. But yeah, that's going to be a really interesting one, because I don't think Strick is as, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I think I am. I don't know if he's even as mobile as Liam Cooper, and with obviously having Ollie Watkins up front, who even we saw in Ross Barkley's goal at the weekend, the movement for Ollie Watkins there, like he moved two players out of Barkley's way, yeah, and left him one-on-one with a player that was too far away from him to get the block in. So it was just fantastic. He parted the blue sea, essentially, and as we mentioned, is all because Chowdhury didn't was just sat there, stood there and a gaze at him. But you mentioned that Villa are probably going to go out with the same team again. I think that is the case. It's nice to have Keenan Davis back. I know he doesn't carry a goal threat, but against a team like this, it might be no harm to have the option to bring on a battering ram and put him up front.
Yeah.
What way do you think the game is going to go, Paddy? You mentioned that you're a bit more nervous about it, and I said I'm a bit more positive about it, but I still don't think this is going to be anywhere near an easy night out for Villa. What's way do you think the game is going to go, and do you have any predictions for the scoreline?
I'm expecting it to be quite low. I would imagine it'll be as cagey as the game was against Wolves on Monday night, and of course we're coming out of a cagey game ourselves, so it'll go either way. It'll go gung ho, or it'll be nil all. And I'm expecting my prediction is going to be a 1-0 win for Villa. Fingers crossed, touch wood.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with the high possibility it could be a 1-0 win for Villa. I think this is a one whereby, even though the Leeds have injuries, I think they're still going to be very hard to break down. I think the team will be tired after the weekend because they put in an awful shift. You know, they didn't have a lot of the ball against Leicester. I think they only had like 33% of possession or something like that against Leicester. I could be completely wrong on that. But they didn't have as much of the ball as we would have liked. And I think the team might be a bit tired with only a 4.5-day turnaround, realistically speaking. So I'm actually going to go with a score draw on this one at 1-1. And look, I'd said the same thing against for the Leicester game. I thought it was going to be 2-2. I think this is going to be 1-1. And look, I will celebrate like a maniac if we end up winning this and go five game winning streak at the start of the season. But I'm just, as I say, risk averse, and I think that maybe our luck has to run out at some stage. But whether it's this week or whether it's next week or whether it's after the international break, who knows? May it continue.
Well, it's going, like, we're going to become the guys that everyone wants to beat if we keep winning. So let's get another W on the board and enjoy our at least a couple of days at the top of the league. And sure, look, we can see, you know, that there's tough games coming. There's easy games coming. But to me, this is a big game for us to lay down a mark, because the Leeds seem to be the media darlings for some reason. Don't get it, but I don't think they'll be anywhere near where they are come the end of the season. The Premier League tends to find you out very quickly, and thankfully we haven't been put back in our box just yet. So hopefully we can come away with another 3 points on Friday. I really want these 3 points because I can't be dealing with the slagging that's going to go on in my family and with a few friends of mine that are of the age that they haven't been missing for the last 16 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I'd snap your hands off for a 1-0 win.
I think everybody, I'd snap your hands off for a 1-0 win from here until the end of next May. yeah.
Absolutely. Well, if we keep grinding out results and you know, if we have a couple of negatives in around there, which is inevitably going to come.
Yeah.
The more points we have on the board, the better. Yeah. And we can play without fear then if that's the case. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just still on the.
Enjoy it while we can.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Will do. And you know me, I'm the bastion of optimism. I have been through the whole lot of it since Project Restart came back. I'm still on the race to 40 points and we reevaluate after that. But the sooner we get there, the sooner we can reevaluate and the more good times we can have on the way there too. So that's going to do it for us today, guys. Nice, short and sweet one, as I say, yeah. Back for Leeds. We'll be back after Leeds game at the weekend.
Or just Friday say a quick congratulations to young Kearney, and I'm going to order his name, Chukwu Emeka, who looks like a real promising talent who signed his first professional contract today. I'm sure that surname will do exactly what Gabby Agbonlahor's name did, and when people couldn't pronounce it, now it's a household name and it'll roll off the tongue. But congratulations, Kearney. It's well deserved from what I've seen of him in a few games this season.
Absolutely, and he played really well against Wolves during the week, on Monday, I think it was, setting up goals for Louis Barry as well. Yeah, so a big, strong, imposing guy, only 16, already been name-checked by the best scouts in the world, and also Mr. Purslow as well name-checked him in the fans' meeting last year. So looking forward to seeing him fulfil his potential and glad that we absolutely have him because I know he was well sought after across all of Europe. Comes from the same stable as our under 16 kind of vintage as Jude Bellingham and all those, and is taught in the same esteem as well. So the fact that Villa were able to hold on to him, unlike other clubs who can't hold on to their good young players.
we're not retiring any numbers yet.
No, we won't retire the number 8 jersey for Kearney just yet. But yeah, as I said, congratulations to the young man and we hope to see him. I know he did play against Coventry last week in the behind closed doors friendly. I think he scored one and set up two as well. But yeah, he's got a promising future and long may it continue with Aston Villa Football Club. So that's going to do it for us today. Thanks very much, everybody, for listening. You can catch Paddy on at Villa Paddy. You can catch me on at Love McGrath Pod. I've got something very exciting that I'm going to be sharing with you guys over the next 24 hours or so. I shared a little sneak preview of it on Twitter. I think it was on Monday. But yeah, something really, really nice. Surprise from John at Lakeris Sports, and you might see that I might have tagged him in a Twitter post. So keep an eye out for that, and I'll be sharing it with you guys over the coming days. But thanks everybody for listening, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Network.